Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. We'll read from verse 25. Remind ourselves of the context a little, and we'll be focusing in mainly verse 28 this evening. Hebrews 12 and verse 24. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. We're focusing in on the last portion of verse 28 this evening. I'll read it again, the portion we're looking at. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's the portion we're looking at this evening. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, we looked at verse 27 and the first portion of verse 28. And we noticed that in verse 27, we noticed a couple of things. We noticed some things will be removed. And that's all those things that are temporary will be removed. They're not hanging around. They're not eternal. They're temporary. There'll be certain things that are removed. But then there are those things that remain, and they're things of eternal value that are remaining. And then we also noticed a few weeks ago when we were looking at this, we noticed the first portion of verse 28. And this is important because it's in context of what we're looking at tonight. It says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. And we're reminded of the fact that we're going to receive a heavenly kingdom. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And we have an eternal kingdom, a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom that will never be moved. And I'll read you a verse here in Matthew 25 and verse 34. It says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And I'm glad that this world is not our home, this world's a mess, and that there's an eternal kingdom that's worth living for, worth dying for, and worth looking forward to. And keeping in mind that eternal kingdom, that kingdom which cannot be moved, that's what's ought to be in the forefront of our focus as Christians. We're heading to an eternal kingdom, a kingdom which will not be moved, an everlasting kingdom. And with that in mind, with the fact that there's going to be certain things removed, there's going to be certain things remain, and we're going to inherit an eternal kingdom, we're going to receive an eternal kingdom, the instruction here, with all of that in mind, the first instruction here in this verse 28 for tonight, it says, let us have grace. Let us have grace. Now, grace is one of those wonderful topics in the Bible, isn't it? Don't you love grace? Aren't you glad for grace? I'm glad for grace. If it wasn't for grace, you'd be in hell. And the only reason we saved, if we are, is by the grace of God. That's it. No other reason, just by grace. We're saved by grace. We know that from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's just grace if you're saved. So we're saved by grace, but then we're told to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I'm saved by grace. But then the instruction to every Christian is to grow in grace. Not grow in saving grace, but grow in sanctifying grace. Grow in serving grace. Grace. You need to grow in grace. When we're first saved, we're but infants, and we've got some growing up to do, and we need to grow in grace. Have a look in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9. We're told that we need to be established with grace. Hebrews 13 and verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So we're saved by grace. We need to grow in grace. We need to be established with grace. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, do you remember when we covered that verse? We were warned, we were told to not fail the grace of God, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. So we're saved by grace, we're to grow in grace, we're to be established with grace. We're to be careful that we don't fail the grace of God. But have a look in Hebrews chapter 4. This is a wonderful thing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and verse 16. A wonderful truth when it comes to grace. We approach the throne of grace. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, we're told in our verse we're looking at, Hebrews 12 and verse 28, says, let us have grace, right? Hebrews 12, verse 28, let us have grace. Where do you find grace? God? The throne of grace. It's called the throne of grace. The only place you're going to find grace is at the throne of grace. You'll find mercy, and we're told that we'll find mercy there, but you'll also find grace at the throne of grace. But if you never approach the throne of grace, you'll be lacking grace. If you don't approach the throne of grace, you won't grow in grace. If you don't approach the throne of grace, you won't be established with grace. And if you don't continually approach the throne of grace, there's a danger of failing the grace of God. See, the throne of grace is so important, and thank God we, as the children of God, we can approach the throne of grace to find mercy and to obtain grace. Here in our verse, in Hebrews 12 and verse 28, it says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God. You're not going to do too well serving God if you have no grace. The only way that you are going to serve God, the only way I am going to serve God, the only way we're going to serve God acceptably, the only way that it is possible for me to serve God is by the grace of God. I don't have it in and of myself, and you don't have it in and of yourself. As you get all the kicks that life gives, you're going to need grace. It's going to take grace. It's going to take the grace of God to absorb everything that life has to throw at you. You'll need the grace of God to continue to serve God. One of the main reasons, I believe, no doubt, that people become exhausted, that people back away from serving God in their daily lives, is just through the exhaustion of life. And they failed to avail themselves of grace. Grace. It will take nothing less than the grace of God overflowing from your heart and soul to serve God in this world. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Talking about grace tonight, we're in need of grace, folks. You need grace, I need grace. 1 we're talking about the grace of God, we're talking about divine enablement. We're talking about divine power. We're talking about having that which is outside of yourself. You can grit your teeth and get some stuff done, but you can't grit your teeth and serve God very well. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I can say to you tonight, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Right now, as I stand, what's the date today? Is it the 6th? 6th of October, 2021. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not all that I should be. I should be more than what I am. But I am what I am by the grace of God. God saved me by His grace, and I've grown to this point as a Christian by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. But that's no excuse. Some people say, well, you know, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And they just rest on their laurels and they use it as an excuse not to go any further. Paul's not giving an excuse. He's just admitting that it's the grace of God that's got him where he is. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. How was Paul able to testify that he labored more abundantly than anybody else? It was only by the grace of God. And he testified, it's not me, but it's the grace of God that's with me. He had so availed himself of the grace of God, no matter what they threw at him, he kept on laboring for God. And I'm saying to you this evening, if we're going to serve God in any capacity, it's only going to be by the grace of God. Go into 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you would. Paul said, it didn't take any worldly wisdom to live right. It took the grace of God to live right in this world. And it took the grace of God to live right toward fellow Christians. Just the grace of God. The grace of God. So we see at the exhortation in Hebrews is to obtain grace. It's let us have grace. And the grace is for the purpose, it says there, whereby we may serve God. Folks, as we walk through life as a Christian, our motive, our focus ought to be the fact that we're going to receive an eternal kingdom. And if I'm going to enter well and I'm going to have the rewards that remain, I'm going to have to obtain myself, I'm going to have to obtain grace to be able to serve God. As you get up tomorrow morning, what you need tomorrow morning to fulfill whatever it is, whatever role it is, to fulfill that role to the full and do it to the service of God, you're going to need the grace of God. You're going to need the grace of God. So let us have grace that we may serve God. Let's notice this next word, acceptably. Acceptably. The word acceptably means in a manner to please or give satisfaction. Now it's not about that it's acceptable to you. It's not about that it's acceptable to your friends. It's not about that it might be acceptable to other people or acceptable to the world, but it's to be acceptable to God. Is God satisfied with your service? In the way that you've conducted yourself, the way that you, your conversation, your manner of conversation, your behavior in general, is it pleasing to the Lord? Does it bring satisfaction to your Lord? Matthew chapter 5 verse 21 says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, the only way I'm going to get a well done, thou good and faithful servant is if my service is acceptable to God. I may sit down and I may analyze it and I may think, well, that's pretty good. Not bad. Satisfactory to me. Acceptable to me. But acceptable to you is irrelevant. Acceptable to me is irrelevant. It must be acceptable to God. And if my service is going to be acceptable before a thrice holy God, it's going to take nothing less than the grace of God. Because you're not classy enough, you're not wise enough, and you're not good enough for your even just your servitude to be acceptable in the sight of God outside of the grace of God. It's going to take divine grace. At the end of each day, the way you have served God is either pleasing to Him or it is not. And the only way our service can possibly be acceptable is by and through the grace of God. Let me repeat it. You getting up and gritting your teeth, saying, well, I'm just going to do better tomorrow. You're not going to. It's not going to work. It's going to fail. It's you going to the throne of grace and say, God, just load me with grace today because I need it to be the dad I need to be. I need it to be the husband I need it to be. I need it to be the Christian I need it to be. I need your grace to be the preacher I need to be, the pastor. I just need your grace just to be who I need to be. And so do you. We all do as Christians. The only way our service is going to be acceptable is through grace. So we've noticed that we're in need of grace. We notice that we need it to, in order for our service to be acceptable. But notice it says, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence. The word reverence, by way of illustration, it means to have downcast eyes. It means to have shamefacedness and bashfulness. It's not arrogance, it's not brashness, but rather it's a shamefacedness. It's a cast down eye. It's you having a right view of your vile, wicked self in light of a thrice holy God. It's you and it's I not having a too high opinion of ourselves. It's me remembering by the grace of God I'm saved and that's the only reason I'm saved. It's remembering that by the grace of God I am what I am and nothing more but than the grace of God. There's nothing special about you. There's nothing special about me. If there's anything special about you, it's just the grace of God in your life. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's you and I remembering, having a right view of ourselves and a right view of God and having that bashfulness before Him, that downcast eye, that shamefacedness. It's fear mingled with respect and esteem. It's having a sense of unworthiness. Psalm 89 and verse 7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. You think about the angelic beings around the throne of God. They're crying, holy, holy, holy. That's what they're doing. Because they have a right view of themselves and a right view of God. And if we, as the children of God, have a right view of ourselves, we too will have a downcast eye when it comes to God. You remember those two individuals in the temple? There was the Pharisee, and he walked in, lifted his eyes heavenward and said, "Thank God I'm not like the rest of them." Let's use our phrase again, he is up himself. Absolutely, utterly full of himself. I'm glad I'm not like this publican. Oh, we don't need to be that. We need to be like that publican. We need to come in there. We need to smite our breast. Not look so much as look up to heaven. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's it. That's it. Folks, we need to be careful we don't get too full of ourselves. Psalm 111 and verse 9 says, "He sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." It always gets my goat when I hear people referred to as reverend or the most right reverend. You heard that? The most right reverend. The most right unreverend. There's none reverend but God. No human being should put reverend before their name. Belongs to the Lord. It's blasphemy. So, we're in need of reverence. And how are you going to humble prideful you? I tell you, it'll only be by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that we can have a right view of ourselves and a right view of God. You must have the grace. We need that grace that we might serve God acceptably with reverence and also godly fear. That word godly fear, the word fear there in the scriptures in this context, it means to stand in awe of. Means to be gobsmacked. Speechless. He truly is an awesome God. Psalm 2 and verse 11 says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Psalm 33 and verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, would you turn there with me please? 1 Peter chapter 1, just over a book or two, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse, let's have a look at verse 15, 14, 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice it, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." You know, it's easy to be holy while you're sitting on a church pew. It's not so easy to be holy in other situations. But we're told to be holy in all manner of conversation. All manner. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That's a pretty sobering verse. God, the judge, he's no respecter of persons. You're nothing special in the eyes of God. He's not going to get to you and say, "Well, you know, I'll make an exception for you." There is no exceptions. Because he is no respecter of persons. When it comes to God, we're all on a level field. The instruction here is, at the end of verse 17, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. As we walk through the day, we ought to be fearing God as we traverse this earth. And I'm saying to you, the only way you're going to do that in the world that we're in and in this robe of flesh that we're in is by the grace of God. Because this world does not fear God. In fact, unfortunately, there's a lot under the banner of Christendom that don't fear God. The early church feared God in Acts 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. The early church walked in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, the only way that you're going to perfect holiness in your life, I'm not talking about positional holiness, I'm talking about practical holiness. I'm talking about practical holiness while you're not sitting on a church pew. I'm talking about practical holiness in every situation. The only way, the only thing that's going to perfect holiness in your life is if you have a healthy fear of God. We need that. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This world, as I said before, there's no fear of God in this world. That's why the world's in the state it's in. That's why the government passes the legislation it passes, because they don't fear God. That's why they say it's okay to abort a baby at full term. That's why they say it's okay to kill off the elderly when they become a burden. It's because they don't fear the Creator. They have no fear of God. We have a wicked government around the world. Romans 3 and verse 18 says there is no fear of God before their eyes. I want to say to you this evening that what you say, where you go, what you watch, what you listen to, what you wear, and what you do all demonstrates and screams loudly whether you fear God or not. Talk's cheap, folks. Our actions on a daily basis. Remember, we're headed to an eternal heaven. A kingdom that will not be moved. Praise God, I'm looking forward to that day. But you know what I need? Well, I've got that in view. I need the grace of God that I might serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And the only way you're going to do that, and the only way I'm going to do that, is an abundance of the grace of God in my life. God divinely enabling me. Amen. Where do I find it? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, at the throne of grace. I better find myself at the throne of grace at a regular basis. You know, I can find grace there of a morning. Things are going pretty good. Well, I don't have to deal with people. I don't know how it is with you, but I go pretty good when it's just me and the birds singing. It's all pretty good. But you know what happens when I get around people? I just need bucket loads of grace. Don't you? I mean, that's the test, isn't it? That's what we come up against. You know, we live with people, we might live with lost family members, we might work in a lost environment, and you just gotta have grace. Need grace. In amongst the church, just takes grace. And so I can get down on my knees and ask God to give me grace in the morning, and fill my bucket full of grace first thing in the morning. But you know, I find that as I go through the day, I need to quickly ask for more grace. and find myself in a situation, Lord, give me grace. And isn't it good that we can do that? That we can top up through the day as we need it. Lord, just give me grace. Give me grace. I'm in need of that. If I'm going to endure to the end, and if you're going to endure to the end, it'll be by the grace of God and nothing more. Let's have a word of prayer. My Lord, we're thankful for the instruction in the Bible. Pray you'd help us, Lord, to examine ourselves when it comes to not only our grace levels, but our reverence and our fear, our holiness, our consistency. God, may we serve you by grace, and may our service to you be acceptable with reverence and godly fear. God, help us in these days, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.